Amen and amen. Are you in Psalm 38 tonight? I want to talk to you about a very appropriate title that I'm sure many of us are experiencing, and that is when the day is bad. Did you have a bad day today? Do you feel maybe, I pray you don't, but do you feel maybe that God has forgotten you? Well, listen, if that's the case, then boy, tonight this word is definitely for you, especially here in Psalm 38. You know, God called David a man after his very own heart. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, as he's called himself. And not only that, the giant killer, the killer of Goliath. You know, even the king of Israel, even the mightiest warrior can have a bad day. And that's exactly what David was having. So he starts out, and we don't know when it was written or the historical content behind it. But look what David does. He starts out on this very bad day he's experiencing, and he says a psalm of David, and then he writes to bring to remembrance. Why did David use the word remembrance? Because he knows that God loves him. He does know that God will never leave him nor forsake him. However, David feels at this moment in his life, and we've all been there, that God, where are you? And why have you forgotten me? So David goes through now and he starts listing what he's experiencing or what he had experiencing. And he is, loved one, he is suffering, man. We don't know what this illness, what he has, but he is sick. And the reason that he is sick is because of some unknown sin that he's committed. David was having a bad day. Let's begin in Psalm 38, verse 1. He writes, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten or discipline me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows, David says, oh, they pierce me deeply. They're just penetrating into my heart, he says. And your hand, it presses me down. Or literally, Lord, you're crushing me to death. He says, there's no soundness in my flesh. And look at the reason. He says, because of your anger. Nor any health in my bones. And look why. He says, because of my sin. He says, oh, for my iniquities have gone over my head. It's like a picture of David sinking, the water, if you will, going down, but it's a sea of sin. And he says, I can't take any more. He says, my wounds are foul. He says, my body stinks. He says, not only that, my wounds are festering. And the reason? Because of my foolishness, because of the sin I committed. He says, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down gently. I go mourning all the day long. All of my days are bad days. All of my days are filled with grief. And my loins, they're full of inflammation. And there is no soundness, no health at all, he says, in my flesh. Oh, he says, I'm feeble. And look how broken he is. He says, I am severely broken. And I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Loved one, listen. David is pouring out every ounce of emotion, everything that's in his heart. His body is so crushed. Whatever is wrong with him, it's taken away all of his health. You know, the Bible tells us in days like that, the Bible says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And I promise you that God was near to the heart of David. Remember that David, can only walk in the light of the old covenant. He didn't have the New Testament like we do today. But I want you to look now at what we call a bad, bad day. Because look at these verses with me. Let me go through it. He says here, David says, I am so crushed. He says, my body is crushed. My spirit is crushed. Some unknown sin. And then he says, I'm being disciplined by God. And look at verse 3 again. There's no health in my body. There's no health in my bones. Verse 4, the weight of this sin was crushing David to death. Verse 5, his entire body covered with oozing, foul, smelling wounds. Verse 6, mourning all the day. He's feeble, severely broken. He's groaning. If we went down to verse 11, we'd find out that he is isolated. He has absolutely, his friends have deserted him. Verse 12, all of his enemies, they want David dead. Now listen to me. Don't turn off the TV or the computer or whatever you're listening to. Say, Bill, I don't want to hear this. No, you want to hear this message. You know, what do you do when you're going through a bad day? How do you really handle a bad day? How do you have victory in a bad day? Well, we're going to find out in a little while. But David goes on and he says in verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before you. All of my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, or literally my heart is just, it's skipping a beat. It's beating wildly and my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it's also gone from me. He says, Lord, I'm barely alive. I'm barely surviving. And look at verse 11. My loved ones, my friends, they stand aloof. In other words, they stay far away from David. And he says, from my plague, or literally from my disease. And my relatives stand afar off. Did you notice those personal pronouns there? He goes, my desire, my sighing, my heart, my strength, my eyes, my loved ones, my friends, my plague, my relatives. Now that is what you call a very bad day. It seems that everyone and everything has literally forsaken David, but God has not forsaken David. Even though that David feels that God has forgotten him, that is absolutely impossible. Listen, we all know that sin, whatever that unknown sin of David's was, we all know that sin has consequences. But let me tell you, you know it, I know it. When God hears our cry, when we come to him, when we repent of sin, listen, he hears us. He is so ready and so willing to forgive. Jesus, our Lord, paid the sin debt of the world. Amen. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, it says, he is faithful and just. If we repent or confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, with all this pain, all of David's emotions just raging, his body so sick and oozing with sores, it's almost like Job, isn't it? What does David do? Well, drop down to verse 18, and it says that David's going to repent of his sin. May I tell you that if you sin, or when we sin, loved one, be quick, very quick to repent. Look at verse 18. David says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. He says, for I will declare my iniquity. Lord, I wanted to do it. I just did it. And he says, but I will be in anguish over my sin. He's saying, Lord, listen, you know what I've done. You know that I did it on purpose. I willingly was disobedient. He says, but Lord, I want you to know right now, I am in my heart is filled and broken and filled with anguish over this. And then go to verse 21, and he says, oh, do not forsake me. See, there it is again. He's, oh Lord, don't do that. He says, oh Lord, my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. Now, you know, again, that God never did not forsake David, and he'll never forsake us. But as we move into Psalm 39, the theme from Psalm 38, loved one, continues. For David's horrible illness, whatever it was, he now feels that perhaps death is very near. And so he now starts writing about the brevity of life. Look at Psalm 39, by the way, has been called a psalm for funerals. So it says, Psalm 39 to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. So the name Jeduthun means praising. And we know from the Chronicles that Jeduthun was the leader of the choir. So let's look at verse 1. David says, I said I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain or bridle my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. He says, I was mute with silence. He didn't open his mouth because his enemies were present. He says, oh, I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow, look at it now, was stirred up. And my heart was hot within me while I was musing, while I was thinking, while I was meditating. He says, oh, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. So the sweet psalmist of Israel Man, he is quiet. He's not saying a word. He's musing. He's thinking. He's meditating on all that he's going through. And the longer that David keeps quiet, the hotter it all burned inside of him. And he says, then I spake with my tongue. So he's not going to speak to man. He's going to speak to God. He's going to pray to the Lord. He's going to ask wisdom from God. Look what he asked for. What, this is an amazing verse, loved one. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. A handbreadth, loved one, is like four fingers. That's how, not much, okay? You've made my days like four fingers or handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best is but a vapor. Everyone at home, everyone listening online tonight, listen, say that word with me, vapor. One more time, vapor. And then he says, Selah. Now, David says, my end, my days, my age, you add it all up and it equals one thing, a vapor. And then he uses that word, Selah. Why don't you, meaning many different interpretations, but I've always believed it to mean just pause right there. Pause and meditate. Pause and think about what David just said. He says, Lord, listen, make me to know my end. What is David saying? He says, Lord, I need to know how frail I am. What is David asking God to do for him? He's saying, God, I need you to be my instructor right now. I need you to be my teacher. I need to be your pupil. I need to understand life in a greater way. I need to understand, because I am so close to death right now. Lord, I need to understand these things. He goes, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain, or they rush and rush and rush through this life for absolutely nothing. It's emptiness. He heaps up riches and he doesn't know who will gather them. That's a true word. You work all of your life and then you come to the end of your life, and all, if you have anything at all, guess what? Somebody else is going to get it. My advice to you, spend everything you have before you leave this planet. Amen. That's just my advice. And I'm saying it's good advice, but I think I might do that. What is David telling us? What's God's word teaching us tonight? You know, are you having a bad day? Don't turn me off yet. This is going to get good. Listen, David is having a horrible time. Many people in the world are having a horrible time right now. And David says, okay, I've learned, Lord. I've learned that life is very, very, very short. I've learned that I'm nothing more than a vapor. That's what I've learned. I've learned that death comes to everyone, and that death is no respecter of anyone. It calls for all, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, young and old, doesn't matter. And one day, all of us, if the rapture doesn't occur in our lifetime, loved one, one day, all of us, each of us, we will depart this life. That's what David wants us to know. There he is, and he's having a bad, bad time, a bad day. James says this in James 4:14, whereas you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, for what is your life? That is a great question, James. He says, what is your life? What is it really about? And James says, you know what? It's even a vapor. There's that word again. A vapor that appeareth for a little time and simply vanishes away. That's how short life is. The Bible tells us, Moses writes in this psalm, Psalm 90, verse 9, we finish our years like a sigh. It's over. The brevity of life. The life is so short. He says, oh, the days of our lives, well, they could be 70 years, and by reason of strength, 80 years, yet they boast only in labor, sorrow, for soon they are cut off. They just simply fly away. And listen to what Moses tells us to do. He says, so teach us to number our days, not our months, not our years, not our decades, not our birthdays. He says, teach us to number our days, and the purpose that we might apply our hearts to wisdom, to gain wisdom. Now listen, Loved one, we know more about death than David knows about death or knew about death. Again, David could only walk in the light of the old covenant. And we walk in the light of the new covenant. We understand what death is, greater than David could ever know at that time. See, we know that Jesus, the son of David, what did he do? He tasted death for everyone. That word taste means he experienced death. He experienced the fullness of death. Whatever death really is, Jesus tasted it all, every ounce, every inch, whatever it is, for you and for me and for everyone. We will never, ever taste what he tasted in death. No. The Bible is so clear that Jesus not only tasted death for us, but he destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. He rendered the devil inoperative. Jesus now has the keys to hell and so forth. Amen? Yes. Listen, Paul told us in, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:10, talking about how God cannot lie. And it talks about how Jesus has abolished death. He's abolished it. When we die, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, when we die, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told us in John 10:28, he says, I give them eternal life. And that's what you have if Jesus Christ is your Lord. He says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. That's a great word. You will never perish. You will never see destruction. Never. If Jesus Christ is your Lord. Nor shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus told Mary and Martha in John 11:25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. The moment a Christian closes their eyes and departs this life, they're right there with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So what happens now? What does David do? He says, okay, in verse 7, he says, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? In other words, what's my answer? And here it is. He says, my hope is in you. I understand, Lord. I understand now that you're the one that gives the meaning of life. And that I should be living every day of my life for you. That I should never waste my life, but I should invest my life in the things of God, because time and life is so short. It's just a handbreadth. It's just as wide as my hand. It goes so quickly. He says, then deliver me from all my transgressions, all my sins. Aren't you glad that all of our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions have been paid for? That Jesus has paid our sin debt, loved one? Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. He says, I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Now look what David says. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man, and here's that word again, surely every man is a vapor. And it's interesting, again, the second time it's used, David once again uses that word, Selah. Stop right there and think about it this very moment. Now listen, this divine discipline, and that's what David is going through, it doesn't mean that God hates you. Divine discipline means that God's involved in your life. It means that God's giving you assurance that you're a son and a child of the living God. Listen, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:5, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, and I can say, and my daughter, my son, do not despise the correction, the discipline, the training, the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. and he scourges every son whom he receives. No one is immune. If you belong to God, he's definitely going to correct us. Thank God that we know that we're children of light. If we get into trouble, we sin. God chastens us, loved one. He says, oh, look at verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I'm a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. So David says, Lord, I believe David is saying to God, I'm facing, my death is imminent. And he says, I know that I'm just a vapor. And so David pours himself out upon the Lord. And he thinks he says, this day will never end. This bad day is never going to ever end. He says, I'm not of this world. I'm getting ready to go to the next world. Loved one, can I tell you that we're not of this world either? We're sojourners like David was. We're pilgrims. This world is not our world. It's going to pass away and everything in it. But he who does the will of God abides forever and ever. So what do? We move right into Psalm 40, another psalm of David. And we're going to cover two more psalms quickly. But listen, Psalm 40 and 41, they're both called messianic psalms, okay? And that's because they're quoted in the New Testament. But what I want you to really understand about this, it doesn't mean, as some suppose, since it's a messianic psalm, that every verse applies to our Lord. I believe only certain verses that are quoted in the New Testament apply to our Lord. Now look what happens. David's bad days are now beginning to, they're going to be over. Watch what happens. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Remember, waiting is the posture of faith. So, and he says, and he inclined to me. Oh, he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit. I don't know what, if David was really in a pit. I mean, maybe he's just using that as a metaphor or whatever. But maybe he's saying the horrible pit of sin that I was in, or the horrible pit of discouragement that I was in, or the horrible pit of suffering that I was in. You know, and maybe, you know what? Maybe you're in a pit tonight. Loved one, you need to get out of that pit because you can. You need to walk out of it because Jesus is your Lord tonight. And look what he says. He says, oh God, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise be to our God. Many will see it in fear, and I will trust in the Lord. Blessed, meaning, oh, the happiness. Blessed of the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So what did God do? God took David out of the pit. And I love this. He put a new song back in David's heart. In other words, he put him back in the singing and psalm business all over again, loved one. He says, oh, many, oh Lord, are my God, are your wonderful works, many, many wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. It says, all of your wonderful works. Boy, we could list all the wonderful works of God, couldn't we? But you know, his greatest work was when he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to this earth to die for the sins of man. I am so thankful tonight that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. I am so thankful tonight, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Why? For he made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So heaven could be our home. You know, whenever you feel you're having a bad day, And whenever you feel that God has forgotten you, would you remember one thing, the thing that David just said? Look at it again. He says, your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I could declare them, speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What kind of thoughts is God having toward us tonight? Well, it says in Psalm 139, 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. I'm still on your mind. You're still thinking about me. Are you having a bad day? Are you having a bad night? Or it's been bad since March 13th, hasn't it? You know, but you know what? Here's the deal. Did you know that during all of your bad days, the days you're considering bad days, that God, you were on God's mind 24/7? Think about that. What was on your mind since March 13th, when everything started shutting down? What's on your mind? What's on your mind tonight? Are you thinking that, well, I don't know what's going to happen? Well, you know what? God knows what's going to happen. We've got to be strong in the Lord, loved one. Listen, let me ask you another question. What could God possibly gain by thinking about you or thinking about me? I mean, think about that, loved one. Listen, he so loves you that he thinks about you all the time, just like a father and a mother thinks about their children all of the time. He says, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering. He says, oh, you don't require it, God. Now listen. This right here, of course, well, let me just finish verse 7. And then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, meaning that it's written of Jesus, okay? This is a messianic scripture. He says, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. But in verse 6, he says, listen. He says, my ears you have opened. Now, the opening of the ear there is not speaking like the ear was closed. That's speaking where back in the Old Testament, they would take a dowel or whatever you call an awl, you know, with a sharp end, and they would run it through the ear of a servant, someone who says, I want to be your servant. I want to be your servant all of my life. And this proves it. And so they would put that awl in there and pierce the ear, not as nice as you guys today and girls, you get your ears pierced. You don't know why you do that. You know, you put those things in your noses and I don't know, that's none of my business, but there's a lot of that piercing going on. And there's also a lot of plugged ears today that are not listening to God. However, that's what that word is talking about. And then when he gets into verse 7, he's talking about a quote that is again quoted about Jesus in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. Let me read it to you from Hebrews. Therefore, when he came into the world, meaning the virgin birth, he said, sacrifice, offering you do not desire, but a body you've prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Now listen, you had no pleasure, God. Then I said, behold, I've come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do your will, O God. Why was it when Jesus came into this world, and of course that scripture that's being quoted, that messianic scripture, why is it that God has no pleasure in sacrifices and offerings? The reason he commanded them, but why? Why did he have no pleasure? It's because the blood of bull and goats could never, ever pay for the sins of the world. Only Jesus could do that, loved one. The blood bull and goats, they failed. Now, let's close with Psalm 41, and this is also going to close out book one of the Psalter or the Psalms. You know, there's five books, if you will. And so this is going to contain the scripture, the messianic scripture concerning the betrayal of Jesus by Judas, okay? So it says in verse 1, oh, how happy or blessed is he who considers the poor, meaning the helpless, the powerless. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. You know, why is this person so blessed? I want you to look now, because look at the seven things that God says he will do if you will consider the poor and help them. The first thing it says here, it says when time of trouble comes, the Lord will deliver you. make that your word tonight. Look at the next one. The Lord, if you consider the poor, help them. Look what it says. The Lord will preserve you. He'll keep you alive. In number four, your life will be blessed on earth. Number five, you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Number six, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. Number seven, you will sustain him on his sick bed. Change his sickness to health. Those are the incredible rewards of those who consider the poor. The Bible teaches us that God rewards those who give to the poor. You know the foundational scripture of our charity, Love Never Fails International. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, "He who hath pity upon the poor." The word pity there doesn't mean the pity of "I feel so sorry for you," even though that's involved. But it's a pity, pardon me, it's a pity that reaches out and does something about the condition of that person. So he who hath pity upon the poor, it says, listen to this now, lendeth unto God. You're giving God a loan. And then it says, and he will pay back what has been given, what you've given. Giving unto the poor, helping the poor. You know what it is? It's lending unto God. It's a hand up to the poor, not a handout. It's a hand up, loved one. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Now look at verse 4 of Psalm 41. And I said, David said, Lord, be merciful to me. Say that with me at home, would you, or wherever you are. Lord, be merciful to me. Search the scriptures. Search the New Testament. You will never, ever find Jesus rebuking anyone who said, Lord, be merciful to me. Do you need mercy tonight? Well, then we have a faithful and merciful high priest that we're going to go to in just a moment as we celebrate communion. He says, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. When David says, heal my soul, he's talking about all that he is. Everything he is, his mind, his will, his emotions, physically and spiritually. He says, oh Lord, just heal my entire being. He says, in my enemies, they speak evil of me. And when will he die? And when will his name perish? In other words, when is David gone from this earth? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself, and when he goes out, he tells it. And all who hate me, they whisper together against me. Against me, they devise my hurt. Now look what happens in verse 8. An evil disease, not God says, his enemies say, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he's going to die, man. He's going to die of this disease. Never going to rise up again. Even my own familiar or my own close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. There, that is that messianic scripture right there. We know there in the upper room in John 13:18 that Jesus and Judas there in the upper room together, and Jesus, of course, or Judas rather, goes out to betray our Lord. Now, you know, it says, I want to show you something though. It says there, it says, my friend in whom I trusted. It's important to know that Jesus never trusted Judas. He knew who Judas was the entire time. He knew he was a thief. Verse 10, but you, O Lord, be merciful to me. Raise me up that I may repay them. And by this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemies do not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face, and look how long, forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. That word blessed there is not, oh, how happy, like we would use for ourselves. This word signifies that God is the source of all blessing. Now, we're closing out the first book, remember, of the Psalter. So, and it ends with, look how it ends, amen and amen. Now, There are five books in the Psalms, okay? Every book closes out with the amen and amen and so forth. Now, you may be saying tonight, before we celebrate communion, you may be saying, you know, Bill, I don't want any more bad days. I don't either. But here is how you overcome that. Here's how you live whenever the day is bad. And you do it this way. You count every day that you are alive, because life is short. We're nothing but a vapor. If we don't know if tomorrow is not our calendar moment to leave and go to heaven, we have no idea. So if you're going to overcome a bad day, or you want to just remain in it, well, the best way to overcome a bad day is to know that our life is like a handbreadth, four fingers wide, and we count every day as precious. That's exactly how we do it. Every day is precious. Life is too short, loved one, to live in a bad day every day. Don't do that. Don't just put your mind upon the Lord. And look out there. Go out. Sometimes I just go outside. I'll sit in my lawn chair. I just look up in the clouds. I listen to the birds. And you know what? That brings me great joy. And maybe that's silly, but for me, it brings me great joy. I can look at a beautiful tree that God has created, and it brings great joy. Listen, the world is filled with bad days. There are people right now all over the world having a bad time because of this pandemic. Don't let your day be a bad day. You find out something in your day that you can rejoice about. And not only that, loved one, Jesus never, ever said, hey, you're never going to have bad days. You know what Jesus told us in John 16:33? These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, here comes the promise, you will have tribulation, troubles. You're going to have problems. And what did Jesus say? Hey, be courageous. Be of good cheer. Come on. He says, I have overcome the world. Listen, you've overcome the world because you're in Christ. So that means that every bad day that you have, you've already overcome it if you're in Christ Jesus. Listen, live today. Don't be in bondage to anything. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God, whoever has been born again, no matter who you are, has overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Simply believing, meaning our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Loved one, listen. We don't want any bad days, but we're going to have them. Trust the Lord. Man, count every day, every moment of your life is precious. Because you don't know, again, you don't know, I don't know, the day we will depart. I promise you, if you knew that you were going to depart in your sleep tonight, I pray you don't. But if you knew that you were, you'd be loving everyone. You'd be loving your husband or your wife or your children or your friends. You'd be rejoicing. I pray you would be, because that's not going to be a bad day the moment you enter glory. You see, we don't know when that's going to happen. We're just a vapor. Now, with all that being said tonight, I pray that you have the elements prepared and get all the family together as we're going to celebrate communion. And let me read tonight, as I always do, from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul writes, and he says this. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do that. Never forget me, Jesus says. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Loved one, Jesus is not only alive, Jesus is coming again. He may come tonight, he may come tomorrow morning, but he told us that he is coming and to be ready for that. He tells us there, but let a man examine himself, let a woman, let us all examine our hearts tonight, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So tonight, as we hold the bread and the cup in our hands, loved one, listen. You know, in the intimacy, here we are again, I'm alone here, but in the intimacy of your own home, there with your family, or maybe you're alone like me, it's okay, the Lord is present. He's with us right now. He will never leave you, and he will certainly never forsake you. So we're about to break bread. We're proclaiming our oneness, our unity, until the Lord returns. So we look back, and we give thanks unto the Lord. We remember all that Jesus has done for us, that he indeed, he is the bread of life. And not only that, we look forward again. Jesus is coming. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but Jesus is coming. And then we look back, we look ahead, we look within our hearts. If you have aught, repent. Run to the Lord right now. If you have unforgiveness, get rid of it. Why do you want to have a bad day, man? Don't do that, or a bad night. Come on, just forgive. So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. All that we do right now, we do in remembrance of our Lord and our Savior, who died upon the cross, who took the sin of the world, who died for our sins, Lord. Thank you that our sins, again, far as the east is from the west. You paid the sin debt of the world. So in Jesus' name, what we do right now, we partake of the bread as the family of God and do so in remembrance of him. Let us partake of the bread. This is a cup of the new covenant, the blood of Christ, shed for the sins of the world, loved one. Now listen, I want you to think about something. Jesus had many bad days, what we would call bad days. And he suffered for us unimaginable pain, unimaginable suffering. The sin of the world was placed upon him, loved one. So listen to me now. Jesus' worst day, his worst day, even though it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. Jesus' worst day was the absolute best day for mankind. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, Lord, what we do now, we do as your family. And Lord, we do this in remembrance of you, that our sin has been paid for in Christ's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us partake. Father, we thank you tonight for your incredible goodness. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you even now you are living for us and ever liveth to make intercession for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is coming for us again. But Lord, tonight, as I say goodbye to the sheep of your pasture, and I say amen, O Lord, amen. Loved one, listen to me now. You know, if tonight, maybe you're sick. We haven't prayed for anyone. The Bible teaches us to lay hands upon the sick and so forth. And we haven't been able to really practice that the way the Bible teaches us because of our social distancing, and we pray from a distance. But I know that prayer knows no distance. But tonight, by faith, let's say that you're ill in your body, or maybe your fear has just conquered you. Fear has so occupied your life that you're afraid to do anything. Would you just lift up your hands as I just did to me and I to you? And I want to pray over all those who are sick, all those who are filled with fear, all those who are filled with worry. Would you lift your hands up just like I have? And we're touching one another. We're praying over one another right now. Father, those that are ill, those that are sick in their body, those that, Lord, the devil is just beating up, those whose minds are just filled with grief and pain and suffering and worry, and those who are filled with fear and controlled by fear, I pray over them that right now, everything that is not from you is displaced from their being, from their mind, heart, and soul, and spirit, and that, Father, they are made whole by the greatest name in all the universe, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Touch your sheep now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.